I'm going to add two more verses to our readings this morning. Psalm 73, verse 21 and verse 22. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. I just recently went with Trish to the remake of Beauty and the Beast. And I loved it. I loved the original, or not the original. Yeah, the original is good too in French and all that. But I loved the cartoon version and I love this remake. I loved it because it's a love story. And I love love stories. I love it because also it's a fairy tale about all that we want. We yearn for true, passionate love, and we want redemption, and we want the story to end well. Can you imagine if it didn't? Wow, how you would leave that theater. Well, I'm here to tell you that Beauty and the Beast is the truth. It's the truth. It depicts things as they really and actually are. But they will, and the truth is, it's true because Jesus Christ came into our lives to change everything, to love us, and to redeem us. If he had not come, then it would be a different ending to the story altogether. Jesus Christ is the beauty. He is the beautiful one. He has done what is necessary to change us back from being the beasts that we are to the nobility that we were intended to be when we were created. Tale as old as time. I was afraid that the woman next to me would hear me crying because I was moved. I was moved. The opening of the story of Beauty and the Beast, you may recall, is a scene where there's a party going on and we meet this prince, and he selfishly mistreats an old hag who comes to the door asking for help. And as a result, this enchantress, she was actually an enchantress, places a curse on him, and it not only affects him, but it affects his entire kingdom. People become objects. Everything is changed and infested with thorns. The kingdom turns creepy and frightening. And the priest becomes ugly, ugly, as they say in the South, right? Ugly. And a hideous beast trapped in this dark world. And there's only one remedy. Before the petals of a rose fall off, when everything will be fixed in stone and none of them will ever regain their true humanity or be restored, he, the beast, must earn someone's love and love someone else. Earn someone's love. Someone has to be able to love him, and he has to love in return. And the story goes on that Belle's father was losing his way, and he gets trapped, you know, in the woods, and he ends up at this place, this hideous place, and he gets entrapped by the beast. And Belle goes to rescue, to look for him. She takes his place, messianic there, takes his place, and love develops then as she's trapped in that castle with the beast. Love develops slowly between the Belle and the beast. In the meantime, we have Gaston, the arch rival, who wants Belle to marry him, and he eventually attacks the castle. The beast is mortally wounded. But love is exchanged between the beauty and the beast before the last petal drops and he dies. And love is what it's all about, because God is love. And everything in that moment is transformed by that exchange of love. The beast becomes who he truly is, a prince, and the kingdom is returned to its glory. And the basis for this archetypal story, this universal hope and desire, is found in the story of what we read in the Bible. We were created princes, princesses and made the crown of creation, God gave us his life, and he put us in charge of the world to care for it as his vice regents. We were his children. And as Edwin Smythe, a young man that I met, has learned from this course that he's been taking, he said one day that his identity is this: I am a royal son of the living king. And that's who you really are, royal sons and daughters of the living king. Our task was to represent God upon the earth as priests, to represent God to the needs of the earth, and to collaborate for the good and welfare of the world. We were his children called to bear the family likeness, but instead, as you read the story, we disobeyed God, and our world was cursed as a result. We were expelled from the garden, and life became thorny. And we became beasts instead of the princes that we were created to be. We lost it. Human beings, if you haven't noticed, are both noble and beastly. And we are capable of horrible things. Who will deliver us from such a tragedy? What must we do to get right again? Well, that's where Beauty and the Beast is wrong. We don't have to earn God's love. We are incapable of doing that. We are trapped in our beastly selfishness and pride. But God loves us, and the Bible tells us that salvation comes to us if we are simply willing to let God love us. We have to let down our guard enough for his love to touch us, and then the transformation begins. We become new creatures, the Bible says. Jesus Christ, the beautiful one, or in our passage today, the good shepherd, has already demonstrated his love for us. All we have to do is let God love us by believing it, by opening our hearts to God's love. It's the only way to move from being a beast to being a prince and a princess. And it's hard, isn't it? Because you have to admit you're a beast first. And sometimes we like to hide behind that thorny and tough hide. This is so well illustrated by the story of one beast by the name of Star Daly. I want to tell you his story because it's wonderful. You just see the transformation that as he goes from being a beast to a prince. It was in 1924 that a judge sentenced him to his third time in the penitentiary. He, according to Star Daly, was just a person who could not be reformed, and they were powerless to do anything more than just to send him back to jail again. He was a hopeless criminal, and he built a reputation from the age of 16 onward of being a dangerous man. He dreamed that the police would always see him as a dread person, and he achieved this, being the leader of a gang of safe crackers. There was no safe he couldn't crack, and there was no time lock he could not take apart. It was only booze, it was only liquor that made him careless, and one day he was caught. He spent 14 years in penal farms, chain gangs, two lengthy prison sentences before this third one, and his father never lost hope that someday Star would change. He would be a different person, but he died brokenhearted because he never saw the change. He died with a prayer on his lips for his son. Star, in the prison, tried to escape twice, and then the third time he tried to instigate a prison riot where the warden would be held hostage. But it backfired because a stool pigeon leaked the whole project, and he was sentenced to the dungeon, to the hole. And most strong men could survive that hole for about 15 days. It was a grim and brutal place. It was dank and dark, and moisture seeped through the stone walls, and it had a stone floor. And he was made to stand for 12 hours with his hands handcuffed to a pipe overhead. He only had bread and water in the morning to eat, and in the evening, after they took him off of the handcuffs, he had bread and water in the evening. He survived 15 days of this. The last day, he could barely get into the cuffs. He couldn't stand. His feet had turned black from caked blood and sores. But that morning, the bull, the keeper of the hole, lifted him into place. In the weeks following, the prisoner was allowed to lie on the icy floor after those 15 days, just sickly thin, unspeakably filthy, and near death. Mired in the lowest hell imaginable, only hatred kept him alive. Hatred for the bull, hatred for the warden, and just hatred for anyone who would double-cross him. He remembered that later, when he told his story, that he got so weak he could not even hate to the degree that he wanted to hate. And through this slight opening that he offered, with this weakness, crept a strange new thought into his mind. All of my life, he says, I've been a powerhouse of energy. What might have happened if I'd used that energy for something good? And then the thought faded. It's too late now. I'm dying. Star remembers going through into a delirium, half waking, half sleeping, sometimes aware, sometimes unconscious. It was followed by disconnected dreams. He was just only aware of being on the frozen floor in his filth and of anyone who came and went. And then he had all these dreams, and during one of the dreams, he was in a garden. It was a garden that he had been in when he was a child, and he was surrounded by gentle hills. And on one end of the garden, there was a great rock that jutted out. And then Jesus Christ, the man whom Star had been trying to avoid all his life, was coming towards him. And he stood face to face with Star, looking deeply into his eyes, he said, as if penetrating the bottom of his soul. And then he felt love of a quality he had never, ever felt before, begin to physically draw the hatred out of him, out of his heart, extracting it like a poison from an infected wound. And then there came another dream in which he saw all the people that he had injured with his life. And one by one, he poured out his love for them. And all who injured him appeared as well, loving him back. The love, he said, was beyond him. It poured through him. It was like a torrent of caring, ecstatic gratitude. And then when the prisoner returned to consciousness, the cell didn't look the same anymore. It sparkled. It was illumined with a warm light. It was no longer a place of pain, but only joy. And the next thing Star knew, the door opened and the bull said in a tone, a voice that Star never heard him use before, "Are you hungry? I could steal a sandwich from the kitchen and bring it to you." The prisoner stared in amazement because he was startled that the bull would say such a thing. And he said, "No, don't do that. Don't risk your neck by breaking a rule for me." It was the bull's turn then to be astonished. And he wondered, wonderingly, what had happened to this man and took him to the doctor as a result. And Daly was released in March of 1930, 5 years ahead of time before his set release. He, from that moment on, was cured of all criminal tendencies. And he wrote about that, and then he went around the country telling his story. Just as Jesus said in the passage today, "I am the door, the good shepherd. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." Beauty and the Beast is a true story, and it's only the beautiful one, Jesus Christ, who has the power to turn us back into the people we were intended to be, God's princes, God's princesses, His children. And all we have to do is open our heart to His love. That's all we have to do. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that it ends well. The story ends well because of what you've done. Thank you for that hope. In our troubled world, Lord, where we look around and we see so much trouble, so many things we have to adjust to all the time, it is so good to know that you are there always, that you love us freely and fully, and that you have the power to transform this world and our lives. And you will do so, and it will be complete someday. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in misery, but we can live in hope because of you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.